Magyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Ditam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priya Vancha Kalpa Tarovyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevya Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Charya Yamuna Tira Bandhacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gora Premanandi, Hare Hare Bol, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Apparently we have Srimad Bhagavatam. Is that okay? We should, what is traditionally done? Bhagavad Gita? Okay, Bhagavad Gita must be somewhere here. Thank you. So we are going to read from chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text 5. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Bahuni me vyatitani Janmani tavacha Arjuna Tanyaham Veda Sarvani Natvam Veta Param Tapa. The Personality of God had said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, we have information of many, many incarnations of the Lord. It is stated there, Advaitam Achyutam Anadyam Anantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navajovanam Cha Vedesha Durlavam Adurlavam Atma Bhakto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person, absolute, infallible, without beginning. Although expanded into unlimited forms, he is still the same original, the oldest, and the person always appearing as a fresh youth. Such eternal, blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord are usually not understood by even the best Vedic scholars, but they are always manifest to pure unalloyed devotees. It is also stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.39, Ramadi Murti Chukalanyamena Tishtam Nanavataramakarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samavat Paramahpumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamam Bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is always situated in various incarnations such as Rama, Narasimha, many subincarnation as well, but who is the original personality of Godhead, known as Krishna, and who incarnates personally also. In the Vedas also it is said that the Lord, although one without a second, manifests himself in innumerable forms. He is like the Vaidurya stone, which changes color yet still remains one. All those multiforms are understood by the pure and alloyed devotees, but not by a simple study of the Vedas. Vedeshu durlabha madurlabham atma bhakto. Devotees like Arjuna are constant companions of the Lord, and whenever the Lord incarnates, the associate devotee is also incarnate in order to serve the Lord in different capacities. Arjuna is one of these devotees, and in this verse it is understood that some millions of years ago, when Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Vivasvan, Arjuna in different capacity was also present. But the difference between the Lord and Arjuna is that the Lord remembered the incident, whereas Arjuna could not remember. That's the difference between the part and parcel living entity and the Supreme Lord. Although Arjuna is addressed herein as the mighty hero who could subdue the enemies, he is unable to recall what had happened in his various past births. Therefore, a living entity, however great he may be in the material estimation, can never equal the Supreme Lord. Anyone who is a constant companion of the Lord is certainly a liberated person, but he cannot be equal to the Lord. The Lord is described in the Brahma Samhita as infallible, achyuta, which means that he never forgets himself, even though he is in material contact. Therefore, the Lord and the living entity can never be equal in all respects, even if the living entity is as liberated as Arjuna. Although Arjuna is a devotee of the Lord, he sometimes forgets the nature of the Lord. But by divine grace, a devotee can at once understand the infallible condition of the Lord, whereas a non-devotee or a demon cannot understand this transcendental nature. Consequently, these descriptions in the Gita cannot be understood by demonic brains. Krishna remembered acts which were performed by him millions of years before, but Arjuna could not, despite the fact that both Krishna and Arjuna are eternal in nature. We may also note herein that a living entity forgets everything due to his change of body, but the Lord remembers because he does not change his Satchitananda body. He is Advaita, which means there is no distinction between his body and himself. Everything in relation to him is a spirit, whereas the conditioned soul is different from his material body. And because the Lord's body and self are identical, his position is always different from that of the ordinary living entity. Even when he descends to the material platform, the demons cannot adjust themselves to this transcendental nature of the Lord, which the Lord himself explains in the following verse. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya ishvaram. So, the Lord, as described in the Brahma Samhita, is Advaitam, which means is absolute. There is no duality in him. We have the duality of spirit and matter, body and soul. But the Lord is non-different from his body. Once I had to correct a devotee, he was giving a lecture and he was saying that Krishna never identified with his body. I had to explain to him, no. We are different from our bodies. But Krishna is identified with the body because he and his body are non-different. It's both spirit. This reminds me, one impersonal scholar, he wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita, and in that famous verse where Lord Krishna asks everybody to surrender unto him, do not fear, I will protect you from all your sinful reaction. Sarva dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarvapapi vimoksha ishyaima sucha. And this commentator writes, no, we should not surrender to Krishna. But one moment Krishna says, surrender to me. And he's defying Krishna by saying, no, we should not surrender to Krishna. But then, juggling words, he says, no, we have to surrender to the unborn inside of Krishna. One moment. What do you understand by that? Somebody who may not know much the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, it sounds very nice. But no, it's an offense against Krishna. So he's offending Krishna, actually. Because what he's saying is saying that Krishna has a material body. There's a difference between his body and his soul. That's what he meant to say. That's what impersonally think that the Lord, when come to this material world, he takes a material body in the mode of goodness. And then when he leaves the world, he becomes impersonal again. That's their wrong idea of the Lord. So people who don't understand the truth about Krishna cannot actually enter the mystery of his appearance in this world. That's the That only can be understood by the pure devotees of the Lord. Nobody else. Jamma karma chame divyam evam yoviti tattvataha tyaktadeham punar jamma naiti mameti sarjuna. Krishna explained, those who understand in truth the transcendental nature of my birth and activities, they do not take another birth again. They come to my eternal abode, the Lord said. So it's not an easy thing, or very simplistic thing, to understand the Lord as He is. Yesterday in the Balaram Jayanti, we were celebrating in the class, the question was raised, why Krishna expand Himself? Wasn't that the question? Why He expand Himself? So, here is the answer in this verse of Brahma Samhita quoted by Prabhupada, Ramadi Murtishu. Rama Adi, starting with Ram. There are three Ramas actually. One is Balaram, one is Parashuram, and one is Lord Ramchandra. And also Rama means pleasure. So the Lord takes pleasure in appearing in different forms to protect His devotees and to annihilate the demons, to protect from danger. So, you know, there is a mental disease called multiple personality disorder. Have you heard about that? Person think himself or herself, different people, you know, at different times. There is a disease like that. But in relation to Krishna, He has a multiple personality in perfect order. In perfect order. An imperfect bliss, an eternal enjoyment. I mean, everything we see in this world is a perverted reflection that's coming from the Lord, isn't it? So anything you can see, something is coming originally from the Lord, everything. For example, we hear that the Lord, He fights the demons. People have this stereotype idea that God is all love and goodness. Once a man told Prabhupada, God is love. And Prabhupada said, yes, and hate too. God is everything. He's everything. This reminds me, last year I was giving a lecture in one university in Central America, El Salvador. The evangelical university and the theological department. So one student asked a very challenging question. He said, did God created everything? I said, yes, of course. Then he said, if God created everything, that means He also created evil. If God created evil, how He can be all good? That was his challenge. I told him, to answer your question, I have to ask you some questions. Do you believe that darkness exists? He said, of course, darkness exists. He said, no, darkness doesn't exist. Darkness is only the absence of light. If you put the room, switch off the light, and turn it off again, you don't see half the room in darkness, half in light, fighting to see who will stay in the room. No. Darkness doesn't exist. It's only the absence of light. You can study light, the speed of light and different things, the colors, but darkness you can study because it actually doesn't exist. It's only the absence of something else. And I asked him also, do you believe there is cold? He said, of course. I told him, no. Cold is only the absence of heat. How you study cold? Because you see in the thermostat there is less heat. So you know there is cold and getting colder. In the same way I told him, evil is only the absence of God. By forgetting God, we are creating evil, not God. This reminds me one Prabhupada pastime in Germany. One new devotee was contemplating to surrender, become brahmachari, leaving the temple, but he had a big doubt. But fortunately, Prabhupada was visiting, so he had the opportunity to ask Prabhupada personally this question. So he asked Prabhupada, if Krishna knew that we were going to be attracted to Maya, why he created Maya? And you know what Prabhupada told him? Prabhupada said, no, Krishna didn't create Maya. You created Maya because of your desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Just to please you, Krishna created Maya. It's not Krishna's desire, it is your desire. And he surrendered. Now he's Satchinandan Swami. So anyway, another student, he also asked another challenging question. He said, is God unlimited? I say, yes, of course, God is unlimited. He said, why are religion wasting their time to understand God? If God is unlimited, if you can't understand Him, then He stopped being unlimited. So we are wasting our time here. And I told him, yes, you are right, God is unlimited and we are limited, that's true. But if God can't reveal Himself to the limited ones, then He also stopped being unlimited. Understand the logic? That, okay, God is unlimited, we are limited. If we can't understand then Him, then He stopped being unlimited. Then the reverse logic is, if He's unlimited, He can reveal Himself for those who are limited. If He can, then He stopped being unlimited. He said, well, that makes sense. So anyway, once Prabhupada was hearing, one devotee was reading for him one scientific magazine. And the magazine, one scientist was saying that human beings only use 10% of their brain. And Prabhupada stopped him and said, yes, he is correct. Because the other 90% is to understand God and they are not using it. You know, when the movement was attacked in the middle 70s in America, especially in New York, with court cases, you know. So they went to Mayapur to consult with Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, what is their argument against us? And the devotee said, Prabhupada, well, they're accusing us of brainwashing. Prabhupada said, what is wrong with that? If people's brains is dirty, you wash your house at least once in a while, you know, once a week maybe. So if the brain is dirty with so much violence and lust and greed and anger, what is wrong with washing it? And Prabhupada said, but how can we wash their brain if they have no brain? This movement is brain giving, not brainwashing, brain giving. Amazing argument, very, very to the point. Huh? Of course, they declare the Supreme Court of the United States that the Hare Krishna movement is a bona fide religion based on Holy Scripture, 5,000 years old. Huh? Do you know that recently, there was one documentary about the Mahabharata, about Krishna and Kurukshetra. Maybe some of you have seen this. It's called Krishna, History or Myth. You can look, Google it and find it. It's very interesting. The interesting thing is that this astronomer, he found the exact description of Mahabharata about the stars and planet just before the battlefield started. And he made exact, study of the cosmos. And he found out the exact year that the Kurukshetra War started, which is 5,067 years ago. Isn't it?
3,067 years BC.
Well, that means 5,067.
I mean, 3067 BC means before Christ, isn't it? So Christ appeared 2,000 years ago. Okay, 2011, okay. To be precise. Okay, and then you have to say 78, 5,078 years ago. You're right, correct. So anyway, so of course, we just celebrated yesterday Lord Balaram's appearance day, and we are on our way to celebrate Janmashtami also. So it is very proper to speak about the Lord's coming to this world. Some religious people have the wrong idea that God cannot come to this world. And who are we to prevent Him? If He's all-powerful, He can do everything and anything and everything. Sometimes the question rises that if God is all-powerful, why He doesn't stop all the evil of the world? And if He doesn't do it, maybe He's cruel. He's hard-hearted. He doesn't care for the people suffering. Sometimes you hear people arguing like that, isn't it? And both arguments are completely wrong. Because although Krishna can interfere with the free will of living entities, if He wants to, He can. But He doesn't want to. Why? Because love means voluntarily obedience, not by force. So that's why, from time to time, the Lord comes or sends His representatives, the spiritual masters, to remind humanity about the mission of human life. It's not by force. Yananda Prabhu was telling me one animal rights activist, he was trying to break on some farm and let the animals loose, go away. He got in jail, apparently. I mean to say, sometimes you want to feel tempted to do things like that, but that's not recommended. To interfere with the free will of others. We just have to try to convince others. Take away the misconception with proper conception. By knowledge. By speaking the truth. According to Shastra, Sadhu, and Guru. In this way we can try to make some difference in the world. Well, at least we should try first with ourselves. We have so many things to get away ourselves from. Our own anarchas, unwanted things. So, remembering a little bit about the Lord's appearance, Lord Balaram. The Lord Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna, playing the part as an elder brother. It's called Gauji. When Lord Ramchandra appeared in Treta Yuga with his brother Lakshmana, Lakshmana was the younger brother. But he was much in difficulty because of that. Because he has to obey his elder brother. That's the Vedic tradition. So he was asked by Lord Ram to take Sita in exile to the forest for the second time. He was unwilling to do it. He thought it was unjust thing to do. But because his elder brother asked him to do, he was forced to do it. And he promised to himself, next time I come to this world, I will not come again as a younger brother, but rather as an elder brother. So that's why he came as an elder brother. So when the Purushottama was there, he didn't feel that he has to help his brother. Since he's the elder brother, he's independent. So he just went on pilgrimage. He didn't care about the Kurukshetra war. Actually, like we heard yesterday, Balaram is the best servant of Krishna. He considered himself the servant of Krishna. And he served Krishna in many different capacities, not just by expanding himself and the land and the throne and the ornaments and the garlands and ground and so many other things. And the seed, Anantashesha is also expansion of Varaha, the bed for his brother when he expanded as Vishnu. But he also there in all the different classes. He served Krishna in Vasya Rasa, of course. And
Sakya is also there as his best friend. And in Vatsalya, also he has feeling for, fatherly feeling for Krishna, being the elder brother. He also look for his protection. And in Madhurya Rasa, he also expands his own internal energy as one Manjari Gopi. Anybody remember the name? Ananga Manjari, very good, yes. So that's an expansion of Balarama's internal energy. Prabhupada said there is only one difference between Krishna and Balarama, and that is the color. Once I was in Vrindavan at the Krishna Balarama temple in Chandanyatra, you know, they covered the deities with sandalwood pole, and they covered both Krishna and Balarama with sandalwood pole. So he's right, you know. They look exactly the same when they're and this covered the same color. So one day Balaram approached his brother Krishna and said, "Krishna, you killed so many demons. You are my hero. You are the hero of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. I have so much love and admiration for you. Can you please allow me to be you for one day? Let me be Krishna for one day." Krishna smiled, "Yes, whatever you want, my dear brother. What do you want me to do? Here is my silken dhoti, here is my flute, my peacock feather, my buffalo horn. What else you want?" "Oh, thank you, Krishna, I'm so happy." So he put on the yellow silken dhoti and playing the flute, the peacock feather. He was happy. "I'm Krishna, I'm Krishna." You'd see like children, you know, sometimes they want to imitate their hero, you know. Of course, devotee children, they dress like Hanuman, maybe. Not Superman or Spider-Man. Anyway, so at that time, Kamsa sent one demon to kill Krishna. What was the name of that demon? The horse demon. Keshi demon. So he asked Kamsa, "Can you please tell me how Krishna looks like? I have never seen him before." "Oh, he dressed in the yellow silk, and he has a peacock feather, and he plays the flute." "Oh, okay, thank you." So when Keshi arrived in Vrindavan, he saw Balaram playing the flute and dressed in yellow silk. "Oh, he must be Krishna." And Balaram was so absorbed in playing the flute and meditating himself to be Krishna that he didn't notice the demon in front of him. And the demon took advantage of that and he kicked Lord Balaram in his chest and made him flew away like 20 miles. Of course, he only felt a little, you know, a little small and significant pain. So he went to Krishna and told Krishna, "Krishna, here is your flute, here is your peacock feather. Here is your dhoti. I had enough for being Krishna today. You take care of those demons, you know." You know, Lord Balaram has two wives, you know, Varuni and Revati, isn't it? You know? So, and he also has his own gopis too. When Balaram returned to Vrindavan, he has Ras Lila dance with his own gopis. Krishna's gopis, they were just looking, you know, in happiness, you know, admiring Lord Balaram's pastimes. But they have only friendship relationship with Balaram. The story of how Lord Balaram got married to Revati is that her father was a descendant of Lord Brahma. And he went to Brahma Lok to speak with Lord Brahma because there were many princes desiring to marry his daughter and he was not sure which one was the best.
So he wanted to consult with Lord Brahma. So when he arrived at the Brahmalok, he was told, you have to wait, because Lord Brahma right now is hearing a concert by the Gandharvas. When the concert is finished, you can speak to him. So after a while, when the concert finished, he came in, offered respect to Lord Brahma and explained the situation to him. And Lord Brahma was laughing like anything. He said, well, this is not a joke, this is a very serious matter. Why are you laughing? Lord Brahma said, because all these people you just mentioned, they are all passed away. Not only them, their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all many generations, they already passed away. While you was hearing the concert, a millennium passed there, a long time. You know, for Brahma, 12 hours is 1,000 times 4,320,000 years. So imagine 1 hour, how much is 1 hour? A lot of time. Anyway, so he asked Lord Brahma, then I don't know nobody right there now in the earth, so please you tell me who's the best person to marry my daughter. And Lord Brahma said, oh, your daughter is very qualified. She's a great devotee of the Lord. Right now, Lord Krishna and Balaram are appearing in the world. Go immediately there and offer your daughter to Balaram to be his wife. So
Lord Balaram accepted, but he was a little unsatisfied because she was much taller than him, being from a British human. So Lord Balaram took his blow, put it on her shoulder, and make her his own size. And Varuni, she's the daughter of Varuna, and she supplies Lord Balaram with Varuni, his favorite dish. Liquor made from honey, naturally made from honey. So once it is said that Lord Balaram was drinking so much honey, he became intoxicated. So he started to speak like an intoxicated person. He was telling the ants, you ants,
why are you hiding on those holes? And he looked at the sky and said, Indra, why are you laughing at me? You are the plating of Sachi, your wife. And he looked at the sky and he saw the moon. He said, why the moon is so elongated? I know, if I want, I can destroy the whole universe right now. And I know Krishna will not be angry at me. He spoke like that. And then he lay down, you know. And when he was intoxicated, he wanted to take a bath in the river Yamuna. So he called Yamuna. Yamuna, come here immediately. Yamuna wasn't obeying. She thought, he's intoxicated, you know. When you hear people intoxicated, you don't pay much attention to them. You try to ignore them. So again, Balaram ordered Yamuna, come here immediately. She will not obey. Then he would explode, dragged Yamuna to come to his feet. Mm-hmm. By force, and then she realized that he's the Supreme Lord, and she offered obeisance to him, and he took bath in her water, and she offered a beautiful blue garment for him. Lord Brahma always liked to dress in blue, the color of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So Lord Balaram, Srila Rupa Goswami, he prays that let's pray to Lord Balaram and to bless all of us in this so-called intoxicated situation. So whoever hear about this pastime, he never get affected by these things. He never get attracted to the slowly activities. Mm-hmm. So of course we can go on for a little more if we want, but I'll stop here to hear from you if you have any question or Any doubt? Yes. Oh, they die? Okay. Well, that's Varuna offered her to Balaram. Mm-hmm. Because Balaram wanted to get those honey drinks. I remember once in Vrindavan, we were celebrating Balaram's appearance day, and a lot of honey was circulating around, you know. So one sannyasi came, and he was offered honey. And he took the honey, he only smelled it. Very nice honey, thank you. He didn't drink it. Very, very strict. Yes. Well, I mean, when I go to India, I stop not only in Dubai, also the surrounding country like Oman. You'll be surprised to know that in Oman, there is a Krishna temple with actual deity of Krishna. You know, in the Muslim country, in Dubai itself, there is a Krishna temple by the Vallabhas, but you can't have murti, or form. It's prohibited. So you have only, you know, one-dimensional picture of Krishna or something, or painting or something like that, but not three-dimensional. But in Oman, the devotee took me to a temple, actual temple of Krishna. Krishna's murti was there. And they told me that this deity been there like for the last 400 years. And the story goes that one Gujarati businessman, he was going back to India coming from Africa, and he stopped in what is the capital of Oman? Anybody may know? Huh? Okay. No. Anyway, doesn't matter. Can't remember right now. Anyway, he stopped there to get, you know, food and water and everything. And the soldiers came to register the boat, you know. But the pujari, he was with Krishna Aditi inside. He locked himself inside the room, so will not allow the soldiers to come in. He was afraid that they may do harm to the deity. So he was praying to the Lord for protection, you know, and very fervently. And when finally the soldiers broke the door, they saw a huge cobra jumping at them, and they run away frightened, you know. So Krishna made them see that illusion, you know. He fried them up. So they went and told the king what they saw. The king himself came out of curiosity, and he made friendship with this Gujarati businessman, and he allowed him to make his temple there. And but like 150 years ago, the deity appeared in a dream to the pujari and told him, "I want to go back to Gujarat." So they took the deity back to Gujarat by boat. And like about 50, 60 years ago, the pujari in India had another dream. And the Lord Krishna said in his deity form, I want to go back to Oman. You take me back there. So he took an airplane, and he was carrying the Lord in his arms. So, you know, when he arrived at the airport, he was very nervous because if they discover it's a deity, who knows, the government have changed and many things. So he was very nervous praying for the Lord protection. So when he was going to put the deity in the, you know, X-ray scan, the machine stopped working suddenly. So they could not know what was there, you know, he just passed through. And another town called Salala is like 10 hours drive. There is also a pure silver deities of Radha and Krishna. And they have a similar story too. to very little uncommon thing. And they asked me to speak in Arabic, so I was born in Arabic country, Syria. And I went to school in my childhood, so I can read and write Arabic, so I spoke in Arabic, and people came and they were surprised, you know, to hear. So, yeah, it's a very interesting experience. You can't go like that in the country, you have to dress like regular dress, you know. No, cannot. The first time I went to Oman, that was last year, the devotee, because I have Venezuelan passport, but I am U.S. resident, but I have Venezuelan passport when I was born in Syria. So anyway, the devotee sent me a business visa to go into the country. So when I came to the officer, immigration officer, he said, "Sorry, sir, we can't allow you in the country." I said, "Why?" "Well, sir, there is no empty page to stamp the visa. All the pages of your passport are filled, and we need a full page because this is a big stamp. Need a full." I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't know, you know, this is my first time in your country." And I start to speak Arabic to him, you know. So when I spoke Arabic, they softened a little bit, you know. You know, I said, "You know, we speak the same language." And he saw my name, also have some Arabic name there. So, and I explained to him, "My first time, I didn't know about your law, and my passport still has like 1 year more to expire, but I travel so much, all the pages are full. So please excuse me." Say, "Okay, we're going to make exception, only with you. Because we like you." So go and buy a tourist visa, cost only $20, and that is the smallest stamp we can put anywhere. So that's the way I was allowed in the country. Yes, Leonardo. Oh, yes, right.
It was in March of 1977, and Prabhupada was in Mayapur.
Right.
When Kamalakrishna Maharaj came with the Times of India, and there was an article on the front page saying that Hare Krishna is recognized as a bona fide religion by the Supreme Court of the New York State.
Yes.
When Prabhupada saw that, he said, "It was only 12 years ago that I was alone in New York, practically loitering without any money."
Yeah. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. By the way, today is the day that Prabhupada left India to come to the U.S. Today is the day that Prabhupada took the Jaladuta boat. I had the good fortune to meet Prabhupada in Venezuela and South America. He visited there in February 75. Yes. Oh, sorry, I didn't look that way. I'm sorry. Yes.
Maharaj, I was trying to understand the beginning of the lecture.
Yeah.
When you were talking about how God created everything.
Yes.
And how he created hate. And yeah, also, along with everything else. But then, as you went on, and I was thinking about how Vaikuntha is without any anxiety.
Yes. No, duality is duality is only in the material world. In the spiritual world, there is no duality. Everything is absolute. Although there also there is day and night, but there is only lila. When Krishna wants to dance with the gopi, there is full moon night and nice breeze comes in. It's a different atmosphere. It doesn't have nothing to do with the material world. Yeah, I mean when Prabhupada said God is not only love but hate too, means God is everything, but everything is not God. So when he is everything, means Krishna uses his anger only to protect his devotees when they are in danger, otherwise he will not use it. And that happened only in the material world. In the spiritual world, there are no demons. Sometimes there are rumors, demons are coming, just to create some excitement. But and sometimes Krishna go to Mathura riding on Kaliya and through the Yamuna River. And he killed Kamsa, is not a real person, is just created by Yoga Maya, so-called demon Kamsa. And he killed Kamsa there and comes back to Vrindavan the same day. I mean, it's beyond our imagination. We have to go there, find out. Yes. Well, actually speaking, it is not permitted to preach to the Muslims in Muslim country. You know that. It is prohibited. So, it is done in a clandestine way, underground. So devotees bring me sometimes some open-minded Muslim to preach to them privately in one apartment without much trying to attract anybody's attention or anything like that. And just speak with them, talk to them with their own language, Arabic, and let them ask the question, because they came because they are open-minded, they want to know more. I was surprised to find so many open-minded Muslims who were not completely satisfied with their own philosophy, they want to know more. Same thing that happened with many Christian or Jew, that they were not finding answers in their own tradition, they wanted to know more. And I met one doctor in Dubai. He's from Yemen, but he's a psychiatrist. He works in the government hospital. And we had a nice talk, and he was asking me a lot of questions about Krishna's pastime, Krishna's activity. He said, "This is very interesting to me, because I never heard something like that before, God has activity." So I kept speaking to him about that, and after a few visits, he decided to become a devotee. So now he come to our Namahata, he put on dhoti and tilak, and he chant japa, and he dance in the kirtan. So, Krishna is all attractive to everyone. Even Lord Chaitanya was preaching to the Muslims in India, to the leaders, some religious leaders, and he quoted the Quran for them. He said, at the end of Quran, it is said that God is a person and is blackish. At the end of the Quran, there is a verse saying like that. So I quote that to them also. I found the quote and tell them that. And I, you know, we tell them we also accept the Prophet Muhammad as a pure devotee of the Lord, you know. La ilaha illallahu wa Muhammad Rasulallahu. They're very happy to hear that. We accept Allah as God and Muhammad as Prophet, yes. So once in Spain, one Muslim visiting the temple, he said, "Well, the last prophet that came is Muhammad." I told him, "No, you don't know that 500 years ago, came the greatest of all prophets, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." He came to preach about love of Godhead, to chant the names of the Lord. He was very interested to know more about Lord Chaitanya. Oh, yes. 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 That's true. I met in 2002 in India a group of religious people called the Druze. Yes. So they believe, I know them from childhood because I had a friend from that tradition when I lived in Middle East. So they believe in reincarnation, and they believe that God come to this world. So they believe in this. And when they went to visit our temples in India, the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, they composed a song in Arabic praising Krishna. And the name of Krishna and Ram were in the song. You know? They went to search for their roots. And they accepted that the roots are coming from Vedic culture, from India. So originally everything is coming from there. That's a fact. Yes. Yeah, of course, it's part of our study, you know. If you go here to any school, maybe not now, but before, Bible study was there. So yeah, Quran was common knowledge. Although my parents were Christian, were not Muslims. It's a minority there, like 5-10%. Yes. Yes. Yes, that's true. When Lord Chaitanya spoke with the Qazi mentioned that those who are in the path of renunciation, they don't eat meat. Those who are in the path of enjoyment, they eat meat. So, and they have a cult, renunciant cult, Fakir. Fakir means like a sannyasi. So those people, generally speaking, they are vegetarian. They practice a lot of tapasya and austerities. Like a yogis, you know. Like. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling from Shantipur to Jagannath Puri, he had to pass some, when he arrived at the Orissa border, he had to pass some toll. Was a Muslim soldier was guarding there to collect taxes from the travelers. So when he saw Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi, so he thought, oh, this must be like a fakir, you know. So he asked him, are you traveling alone or are you traveling with all these people? Because 5 devotees were with him, Nityananda, Mukunda, Narahari, Govinda, you know, and others. So Lord Chaitanya, showing complete detachment, he said, besides Krishna, I am all alone in this world. Krishna is my only possession. So the soldier said, okay, you can go, you don't have to pay. But then he told the devotee, you have to pay to pass. And they said, please, allow us to come. We don't have money. We are his servants. He's just speaking like that because he's detached from everything in this world. He's a great, great sannyasi, fakir. And the soldier softened up. He said, okay, okay. But you have to promise me something. They said, yes. He told them, I never saw in my life anybody like him. I mean, his tears came out of his eyes like rain. They touched my body. And when that happened, I felt in my heart that here is the same Allah that I worship 5 times a day. Here is in front of me. So please take me to him and ask him to give me his mercy, please. He was crying, the soldier. So they very happily took him in front of Lord Chaitanya, and he bowed down in front of Lord Chaitanya crying for mercy, and the Lord touched his head, and all his sinful reaction washed away, you know. He became a great devotee. So Lord Chaitanya said, now stop collecting tax. You collect souls for me. Go and preach. He became a big preacher. He converted many Muslims and the Vaishnavas.
Prabhupada said that whoever preached in a Muslim country, I would put the dust of their feet on my head.
Yeah, Prabhupada appreciated like that because a great danger actually. I remember in 1986, in the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, I was in Mayapur, and some devotees invited me to go with them to distribute Bhagavad, Arabic Bhagavad Gitas in the Muslim countries, in Syria and other countries. At that time, I was temporary president in South America, Venezuela. I could not give it up, so I'm sorry. I would like to, but I can't. So I found out later on they were caught by the police and they were being tortured. They thought they were CIA agents. They were tortured. They kept them for 2 weeks, you know, in prison because they were Americans, most of them. So they thought this must be some, you know, they can't believe that this is just a religious thing. You know. Why would somebody risk his life for just to preach religion? Yes. The subject of my book is in the title, Srila Prabhupada in Venezuela. It's describing Prabhupada's visit to South America as his one and only visit. And he stayed 1 week. One devotee here asked me, how can you write a book about only 1 week? I said, well, even one day I can write a full. I mean, Prabhupada is wonderful and amazing. All his activities, even for a few days, you can make a book out of it. And it's amazing, actually, the things Prabhupada said there and did there. Right now I'm working in the English edition. Hopefully next year we'll be ready. Arrivo. Yes. Yeah, yeah. A few devotees came from Trinidad also to see Prabhupada, and some of them took initiation also at that time. And a couple came to speak with Prabhupada. They came just from Trinidad just to see Prabhupada and talk to him. You know, the devotees were very much strict to allow anybody come speak with Prabhupada, but this couple were crying, practically speaking, to be allowed to speak with Prabhupada. So they were given like 15 minutes. And Prabhupada spoke with them. The man's name was Shukadev. And Ramdulari, the lady. And the lady knew many Sanskrit shlokas, you know, and the husband too. And they had wonderful conversation with Prabhupada. And they asked their questions. They were in great happiness to be able to speak with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada gave an orchid to the lady, you know, as a present. And some years ago, devotees went to visit her, and she still has the same orchid in her Bhagavad Gita, as it is. She said, this Prabhupada gave me this. She kept it until the last moment of her life. She already passed away, but all their lives, they became devotees of Prabhupada. Who? Jai. Arrivo. Very good. You know, Prabhupada wanted to go to Trinidad before coming to America. There was a letter exchange between him and people from Trinidad. They were inviting him to come to preach there first. Something happened. He didn't go, but was there. The possibility. Recently I was in Trinidad and Guyana also. We had a whole week of Padayatra and Ratayatra. 2 days Ratayatra parade. Saturday one route, Sunday another route. And it was very nice. Every night, you know, stage programs. Many people came, and even the local pandits from different temples came. And they were very much appreciative of the service of the devotees to the Guyanese people. And they said very frankly, they told me, by hearing from you for 1 week, we learned more than 1 year just by our own. They appreciated very much. Okay, so thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.